Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
David Downey. Hello, David.
Morning, Steve.
We've seen the results. So let's start our Monday moment because let's face it, you were a bit of a nightmare on your social media yesterday, weren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good, was it? It was as bad as it's been under Koeman, certainly. And I mean, the thing that startled me from it, Steve, was there was no guts about it. There was no heart or desire to try and put things right at any point during the game. And I think, you know, a lot of people have started questioning Koeman internally about how he handles the dressing room. I'm not necessarily sure I want to go along those lines myself, but if you look
Can
at the way...
Can you just expand on that, though?
Well, they're saying that he's lost the dressing room and that...
What, totally?
Yeah, because players, you look at the Morales situation, he wants to leave, playing people out of position, and just his general feel of how much of a disciplined man he is, and that doesn't fit in with the way, certainly, things were ran with his predecessor. I mean, it's poles apart, really, isn't it?
Mm.
But what I can see that there might be credence to that is that you look at the way Everton's shoulders dropped after conceding that third goal, which is... What, on the 48th minute, I think it is. There's still 40-odd minutes left to go in that game. And there was no effort whatsoever to try and put it right. Not one single player on that pitch tried to get the game by the scruff of the neck and get Everton some sort of respectability in it. And it was as bad as I've seen under Koeman. It's up there with some of the worst performances I've seen from an Everton side. And I don't think I don't think I'm going too far there. Yeah, it was that bad because...
Keeper did all right at the end, didn't he?
Well, he's the only one, isn't he? Who can hold his head up high, but I don't know, there might even be questions over him with the first goal, the Kane flukes into the top corner.
It was the jammiest of goals, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, and fair play to him. A lot of players have come out and say, yeah, I meant that, but he said, no, it was a cross, that a mishit. And then, you know, you look at the rest of the game and I don't think we had a shot on target, and we've had six with the lowest in the Premier League in terms of shots on target. This isn't what everyone signed up for in the summer, Steve, when you're spending £140 million. So that isn't the initial gripe of many people, but it was cowardly for me. I thought there was nobody who could come out of that game and say, I gave 100% there. Morgan Schneiderlin, I singled out because he's a top performer on his day. But the one thing, you can put up with getting battered. Look at Liverpool, got battered 5-0. Mm. You have days like that. Yeah, okay, there's issues.
It actually didn't feel as bad being beaten 5-0, maybe because it was the man being sent off.
I think Liverpool played better in their 5-0 defeat than Everton did in their 3-0 defeat, and that is, you know, that's testament to how both teams played and the attitude shown by each team's players. Because you can put up with getting battered, Steve. You can put up with the opposition being far superior to you, which Spurs were. But what you can't put up with is a lack of effort and passion and desire to try and put it right. There was nobody G'ing the players up. I mean, we sat here, I think, earlier in the summer saying how many leaders do Everton have, who's going to be captain? Because, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches in terms of leaders on the pitch. Look at Wayne Rooney, he's looking round, there's no one there. Baines, who's the captain, nothing from him. Davy Klaassen, that former Ajax captain, just walks off the pitch when he's substituted without a care in the world. Schneiderlin, similarly, you know, former Man United player, French national team regular, nothing from him.
Where does it all stem from then?
It stems from Koeman.
Does it go back to the dressing room? Does it, from what you were saying?
I think it stems from the manager, Steve. The manager playing people out of position, tactically inferior. I mean, if you look at Cuco Martinez, obviously the whipping boy because he's not any good, let's face it.
No, he's poor.
But you look at how many times in that game, did you watch it?
Well, I saw the highlights of the match of the day, which is sometimes a bit deceiving. But
if you watched any sort of extended replay, you'd see Toby Alderweireld pick the ball up in like a right-back position.
Mm.
And it must have been over a dozen times. He has a straight diagonal over to Ben Davis, who's playing as if he's a left forward, never mind a left winger, and he's a left back. And the space and time he has to attack that, because Ronald Koeman set up so narrow with Sigurdsson, Klaassen and Rooney behind Sandro. No width whatsoever, no cover for Martina, who was getting ripped apart in the right-back slot. Nobody was over on that side of the pitch. Me or you could play that ball all day afternoon, or all day long, Steve. You could knock that diagonal all day, and he just caused havoc. And then when the ball comes in, Everton can't defend it. Ashley Williams wouldn't be bothered if he didn't play in an Everton shirt again. I think he's that bad. He's genuinely that
consistently
bad.
Consistently that bad.
Consistently. He's consistently that bad. The only times last season he's looked okay was when he was in a back three. And that's when he's got, you know, a bit of pace around him, somebody who can cover him. But again, another one, Welsh captain, former Swansea captain, a talisman for the country. No leader whatsoever, Steve. Didn't stand up, wasn't counted, and it was an abysmal afternoon.
The second goal summed up Everton's performance, didn't it?
The second goal.
It was a bit of a joke from sort of start to end, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at the ball comes over from Martina. Initially, beforehand, I think a lot of people have missed this because it might not even be in the highlights, but Leighton Baines heads it back into play when he probably should just flick it out for the corner on the right-hand side. And then Spurs go on to score from Martina, miss complete air kick. Shot comes in from Davis, and then Eriksen puts it away. But it's the third goal that got me, and this is where I pinpoint Schneiderlin. Because if you look when Harry Kane plays the ball out to, I think it's Ben Davis again on the left-hand side, he's in front of Harry Kane. And yet when the ball comes back in, he's 5 yards behind him. He just meanders in the box while Kane, bit of heart, bit of desire to get to the ball first, just meanders into the box himself, taps in, 3-0, game over. But it's the reaction to that. I won't put up with players not putting in any effort. You can get battered. You can say you're a poor side. Fair enough. But I will not put up with, and many Evertonians won't put up with people.
Well, they didn't,
not
did
trying.
It the weekend. There was a lot of sort of more than grunting. They publicly made their feelings known by half time in the crowd.
There's people who want the manager out already, which I think is ridiculous at this stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that conversation genuinely going on around your season ticket where you're sat?
Not by me, no. They'd have to wake up first. But the people who've contacted me on social media have said that they don't see where this is going with Koeman. We've got about 15. Number 10 midfield players.
It's an abrupt turnaround, isn't it?
It's an abrupt turnaround, but if you looked at how abject that performance was on Saturday,
it's one game. You can see, but it's not, is it?
It's a culmination of games, and I'm not siding with them for 1 minute, but I can see where it stems from, and I think it stems from we've had 6 shots on goal, which is the lowest in the Premier League. We didn't have a shot on target on Saturday. We didn't have a shot on target against Chelsea. That's 180 minutes of football without a football team that's cost in excess of 140 million quid, not having a shot between a frame of a goal. That is really, really bad. And I put it out on Twitter at the time, have we played well yet so far this season? I think there's been bursts.
What was the game before the Chelsea game?
City away. And I think that's probably the best. There you go. The first half of that game was the best we've done.
So but then two bad ones back to back after that.
But you arrive at half time in that game playing against 10 men and you're 1-0 up. Any football team, I don't care if you're playing Manchester City and how good they are and how quick they are, you're expected to see out that game, aren't you? If you have any aspirations whatsoever, you're expected to win
that
game.
Really,
yeah, exactly. And we fell to pieces in the second half and played like we had the 10 men. I don't see what he's trying to do. He's playing as if we've got this elusive number 9 that you tried to buy, this big man up front. We play as if we've got that man in position when, in reality, we're tossing balls up to a lad who's 5'7" in Sandro. I mean, we haven't got anybody over 6 foot in the attacking line, maybe Sigurdsson, who's not a striker. And yet we're still trying to play long, direct passes up to the striker. It doesn't work. We mentioned on Wednesday's show on the Blue Room, he needs to find a different way of playing with the players he has at his disposal. And if you look on our website now, Elliot Bretland's done a fantastic piece saying he needs to have a look at what he's got rather than ruin and moaning about what he hasn't got. It's quite obvious because he's put Noumani Ass in the squad.
Back page of the Echo today. Adam Ola-Luckman back in striking the ass for first team return. Is that a sign of where you're currently at?
Well, it is, yeah. He scored 2 yesterday as well. and it's, I think it's funny, Steve, because
yeah, well done the Blues under 23s and Liverpool under 23s yesterday.
4-1 win for us.
1-0 for Liverpool.
And yeah, against Spurs as well. And what you look at that squad and people, I think it's funny, the mentality of fans, it's like they'll praise with one hand and then just immediately take it away with the other. So if you look at how much praise Everton under 23s have been given, they won the league last season. 5 of them were in the under 20 World Cup winning squad. That people are, there's all this clamour for John Joe Kenny to start playing because of how poor Martina is and Coleman's still out, obviously. But the minute you say, oh, look, Umani Ass is banging goals in for the under-23s. Ah, yeah, but it's only the under-23s, isn't it? And they completely put the under-23s down. Whereas when one of the poster boys of the under 23 system is playing well. It's get him in the first team. I think it's really interesting.
I think you've taken a sharper turn though in your thoughts as well.
I'm just summarising what most people feel.
How much faith have you got in Ronald?
A lot of faith. I've got a lot of faith because I think he's a good man.
I'd be surprised if most Evertonians weren't still fully behind him.
I think if you give it, all of that, it's hyperbole, isn't it? In the aftermath of an atrocious
just the immediate reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it?
I think a lot of people will be waking up this morning thinking, well, hang on, we've got a game on Thursday away in Atlanta, and then we've got United away on Sunday. I think you're not hitting the panic button unless we lose both of those games, which is perfectly feasible if you look at how we played on Saturday. But I'd expect a response. When I start worrying is when we don't get a response. But the alarm bells are ringing based on the lack of effort in that second half.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.